Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
So we started talking about hearts on fire in the first service. How many of you have your hearts on fire already? Esther, your heart is not on fire. Now, wow. You were the one that prophesied that this service will start by 11. She said first service by 8, second seven by 11. And I say in which church? As if she knew that today would be like that. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, we start again. Let's test some of you. Luke 24 verse. So, before we quoted 32, we ran somewhere. 27. Okay, so Luke, what? 24, 27. Alright, so let's read together. Luke, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Him. Himself, yes. Are we together? Beginning from what? Moses and what? All the writings of the prophet. He expounded to them in all the secret writings the things concerning Himself. So what is the message of the scriptures, like I've always been saying? What is the message? Christ Jesus. That was the only thing He emphasized. Himself. And let's see the consequence. One of the consequences of what Jesus was doing is in verse 32. Let's read together. Verse 32. Want to read. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the scriptures to us? They were asking. Their hearts were burning like fire while Jesus expounded about Himself. The message was Himself, the revelation of Jesus. He wasn't saying some kind of imaginary things that never existed, fictional beliefs. He was speaking about Himself. And I said in the first service, what will cause the heart of men to burn for God is the revelation of Jesus, not some fictional mysteries that don't exist. And somehow, in the first service, we established in Colossians 3 and 1, let's read together, that our pursuit as Christian is not to be nudged completely in the supernatural. To find ourselves in the supernatural and just be wandering around. The Bible said, if then we are what? Raised with Christ. That we should seek those things that are what? Above. So, and I say above none can represent the supernatural. He said above where Christ is. So what should you seek? The things above where Christ is. Where is Christ? At the Father's right hand. So your pursuit is not just the supernatural. As you come in contact with demons and they will lie to you about things in this world. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Your pursuit is Jesus' place, the revelation of Jesus, the person of Jesus at the Father's right hand, where? In the supernatural. It's not a call to the supernatural for Christians, not just a call, but a call to the highest place in the supernatural. I used to have a friend years ago in Kaduna. He was preaching when he started singing a song. It's a deeper, deeper call to the highest realm of praise, to the highest realm of worship, to the highest. So not just a call to the supernatural, but a call to the highest place where? In the supernatural. So we're not called as Christians to study about demons. No. You truly don't need to study about demons. If you know what is right, you can tell what is wrong by the database of what is right. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if you know light, you can tell what is not light. Alright? The Bible says when one is skilled in the world of righteousness and his senses are what? Exercise. He will come to that point where he can tell the difference between what? Wrongs and rights. What are the words of righteousness? The words that tell you your place in Christ. The revelation of Jesus. When you know it, the Bible says you come to that point where you can tell the difference between what? Wrongs and what? Rights. The place of true discernment is the place of knowing Christ. If you know Christ, you have come to that place. And you fulfill 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. That says, bringing to no effect every thought and ideologies that seems to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ. In verse 4, it has said that the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. So what is our weapon? The knowledge of God. The knowledge of Christ. Via this knowledge, we what? Subject everything. The knowledge helps us to know God. And since the knowledge has now helped us to know God, we can now tell what is not of God. So because of this knowledge, we are fortified to understand what is not of God. We are capacitated to understand what is not of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So we can throw away anything Satan is suggesting, even though it sounds beautiful. Alright? Are you understanding me tonight? And that's why the Bible said in 1 John 3:6 that if you know Him, you will not what? Continue in your sin. Because if you know Him, that's the only way you can tell what is not of Him. You know, in the Old Testament, people just run with the Ten Commandments, the 300 laws of Moses, and it's not even enough. Because to me, the Bible says something. It says the heart of a man is desperately what? Wicked. Who can tell the end of what he can do? Whoever imagined that. Sometimes I used to be tempted to think that God did not see some of these sins coming. Even though I believe He knows all things, I used to be tempted. Because whoever sit down and believe that the beautiful human beings He created will one day look at one of the leaves that He created for their good and they will use it for their bad. For instance, Igbo. People will grind it and they will smoke it. Instead of it to bless them for what it was originally meant for, it is now destroying them. So now how will Moses know that one day people will take Igbo? And Moses now added, thou shalt not smoke, take Igbo. So you see, the sins are growing. Now we're at a point now where some people want to marry cats. Have people not heard it? So if you really want to be, if the pastor wants to be the one to be saying what is seen and what is not seen, he'll be tired. The book of Hebrews affirmed that in Hebrews 7 or Hebrews 8, affirming what Jesus said, is that He will raise the people for Himself. He'll call them His people. They'll call Him their God. He'll put His laws in their heart. Nobody needs to tell them what is wrong from what is what right, because the law is in their heart. And how did He do that? By helping us to understand Jesus Christ. By giving us Jesus. Now that we know Jesus, we know the whole counsel of God. And since we know Jesus and now know God, we now have what it takes to truly know what is not of God. By the knowledge of God, we can tell what is not of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And it is when somebody has a complete knowledge about God that he can truly live a righteous life for God. Because if you don't have a complete knowledge about God, you cannot. Sometimes you'll be living, you'll be behaving wrongly, thinking it is okay by God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Guess what? See what the Bible says, for instance, in Romans 12, from verse 1. The Bible says in verse 1, it says, we should offer our body as a living sacrifice to God, which is our only reasonable service. The word in Greek means to acknowledge. Now, if you look at it, it says by the mercies of God, not by your own ability. Alright? So how do you offer? By the mercies of God. You leverage on the mercies, on the grace of Jesus. To offer your body, the word offer in Greek means to acknowledge. And it is true because, you know, scriptures must explain scriptures. Now let's affirm this. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul said, don't you know that your bodies that were bought with a price and now your bodies are not your own? Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you never agreed to that. It happened before you even agreed. You were already bought with a price. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The believer is not the one saying, God, take my body. The day you accept Jesus, it becomes affirmed that your body does not belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? Now you grow in knowledge to understand that since this body is now Jesus' body, what do? You acknowledge. That's what Paul meant here when he said, offer your body. Of course, he said, by the mercies of God, you offer your body as a what? Living sacrifice. He says, that is your only reasonable service. Meaning the proof that you truly understand what Jesus has done is to the end that your body is living for His glory. Because the finality of the purposes of Jesus upon the face of the earth, or the purpose of Jesus upon the face of the earth, is that finally, the Bible said, the tabernacle of God is now with what? And it shall what? reign on the earth forever. You know, the final paints a picture of the beginning, because it's the Lord God that changed not. What he wants at the end is what he wanted in the beginning. In the beginning, he wanted to live with men upon the face of the earth. But that was not possible because Adam limited him. Are you listening? And that's why when the 12 asked him, teach us how to pray, he didn't say, pray that you are escaped into heaven. He said, pray that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your will be done, as it is done where? In heaven. So God's purpose is that as it is in heaven, so should it be upon the face of the earth. And the people, the conduits, the people that can make this to be possible, help this to cause this to become a possibility. I don't know how to put the English, but I hope you are understanding me. The people that can make this possible is the people, the men in Christ. Men who understand their place in Christ. Because when we truly understand our place in Christ, then through us, heaven will find expression upon the face of the earth. But if we don't, we become a limitation. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why 1 Corinthians 6:9, the Bible says, it says, don't you know? Because the focal point is not making heaven. It is bringing heaven to the earth. That's the purpose of man. Upon the face of the earth. He said, do you not know that the unrighteous the kingdom? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. Do not be deceived. Neither what? Talk to me, church. Neither what? Neither what? Neither what? Neither what? No what? They can't. It's not about making heaven. It's about bringing heaven to the earth. Inheriting the kingdom on the earth. That's why your body needs to be fully participating for this to happen. If your body is not going to participate, if your body is not involved, kingdom will not find expression upon the face of the earth. Your body is fully in participation. Must fully be in participation for this thing to become a reality, for this kingdom dream. Now, we had established before in Luke 4:43, chiefly, the chief scripture, that Jesus is coming to the earth is for a kingdom. Right? It says, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose have I been sent. And what is kingdom? As it is in, so should it be. Why is man involved in this whole picture? Because men make up the kingdom. Verse 6 in the Amplified Edition of Revelation, it says, in verse 5, it says, we were washed by the precious blood of Jesus. We were qualified by the death of Jesus. Whatsoever the death of Jesus achieve in our life is to the end that we are capacitated to be kingdom citizens, to become kingdom citizens. For instance, if you died with Christ and are buried with Christ and are resurrected with Christ, you are a new creation. Your old nature of sin is gone. Take for instance verse 7 of Romans 6. It says, a dead man cannot sin. Verse 6 says, our old nature has been destroyed back to that cross. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That tree. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Whatever has happened in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is to the end that we together are capacitated, qualified to make up his kingdom. Verse 6 says, whatever has happened in verse 5, being washed by the blood of the Lamb in the book of Revelation 1, being washed by the blood of the Lamb and etc. for what his death has done in the lives of Christians is to the end that, verse 6 now, it said, so that we are formed into a kingdom. You see that now? So why did Jesus die for you? Why was it buried for you? Why was it resurrected for you? Why did you enjoy all the consequences of his death, burial, and resurrection in your life? It is so that you are capacitated to, you and I and you and you and you make up together his what? Kingdom. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Do people understand what I'm trying to explain to you? But you see, if we are not in the right shape, should I call it shape? Or right frame of mind. Because as a man thinketh, if we are not seeing ourselves the right way, like Jesus, we will not stand as conduits for this kingdom dream of God to find expression. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And your body must be fully involved. People who don't understand that kingdom is the goal are living anyhow. They are living for heaven as a goal. That is why you see some people who think they understand the gospel tell you that whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. Because they don't understand the purpose of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. They don't understand the purpose of his coming. Miles Murray of blessed memory says, when the purpose of a thing is not what? Abuse is what? It's inevitable. He was the same man that said, after 30 years of preaching, you can go and look for the teaching on YouTube. He said, after 30 years of preaching, he got to find out that he didn't understand the gospel. Miles Monroe. He said, when he was doing PhD, right? I think so. On a particular course called Kingdom. That is when he understood that for over 30 years, he did not understand the gospel. He told a lot of beautiful things anyways. But he said, he acknowledged that he didn't understand the gospel. He said it. He said he found out that the purpose of Jesus' coming is for a kingdom. We just read it. It's littered everywhere in the scriptures. I know some people will say, but Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever perish will not, whosoever believes in him will not what? But have what? But it's obvious that we make up his kingdom. So dying for his kingdom is like dying for us to become the perfect men that should make up. Is there any confusion now? No. You see that now? But when people don't understand that the goal of Jesus was a kingdom, you see them living for heaven at last. Most Christians are living like that. And the best of them will not even glorify God. That's why sometimes we sit down and we're saying things like what the old folks saw is different from what we are seeing in the New Testament. They saw more power, blah, blah, blah. Because at least them, they were not actually looking for a day where they will go to make heaven. They were not thinking of making heaven. They were just existing and enjoying the glory of God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 11, they were anticipating a kingdom. And from a far distance, they said they were just aliens to the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that kingdom is revealed in the death, burial, and resurrection of what? Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible said in Colossians 1 and 13. He said, we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. That's why the Bible said, the least in the kingdom is greater than who? John the Baptist. Because we're in the kingdom. As new creations, we make up the kingdom. We're already living in the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Huh? Are you getting confused? No way, no way, no way. Alright? You've heard people who talk like that, isn't it? Heaven on at last, heaven at last, heaven at last. And that is why they tell you whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. Okay, for the ones who think the holiness movement, if you still have the mindset of making heaven at last, you will still not glorify God. Alright? And that's how that's why they created systems on the earth, for instance, Saturdays for confession, because they don't believe that anybody can live above sin. Now, whatever they've created negates the idea of God. He says, if you are born of God, you cannot sin, verse 9 of 1 John 3. He said, because the seed of God is in you. Do you believe that? There are religious circles that stand, they claim they are standing for God. They teach us that nobody can be perfect. We are not everybody. We are like aliens upon the face of the earth. Our ways are not their ways. Our thinking is not their thinking. The Bible says what God has kept for us is what eyes have not seen. What ears have not heard. What has not entered into the heart. They've not imagined it. That's why when we begin to talk about ourselves, it blows the roof off their head. How can we say we are perfect? Jesus said that. He said, be perfect like your word. 1 John 5:3, he says the commandment of God are not burdensome. He said they are not difficult to obey. What is your own testimony? Is it difficult to obey? For God to say they are not difficult to obey, he stood from somewhere. He's seen things from a certain perspective. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That's why he said what he said. If you can see from where God saw before he told us that his commandment are not difficult to obey, you will not have any problem. You'll be talking the same thing he's saying. If you can see from God's provision, I told you last week, Elisha saw God's provision. He wouldn't be scared amidst many soldiers because he was only seeing God's provision. I can never see in my life. What brings us to this conclusion? You know, some people will hear me now, maybe online, they say, he's proud. Just imagine what he said. After this service, I'm sure he will sing. He will sing. I don't expect to sing. Because the expectation of the righteous will not be cut short. I've been teaching from 16. This has been my belief. That's why you've not heard any scandal on my name. And that's why you will never hear. By God's special grace. Because my whole life is leveraged on this teaching. Nothing else. Because of my own, I can do nothing. I speak based on the confidence of Scripture. Paul said we boast in the Lord. He said, for this is the love of God, that we what? Keep His commandment. And His commandments are not burdensome. Give me the Amplified rendition. See what He says at the tail. The Amplified rendition. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Forever. Your kingdom reigns. Is that you therefore will be perfect, growing into spiritual maturity, both in mind. No. Where is this media people? Where are they talking from? Hi God. You want to disgrace me? See, I had faith in you people. Now I'll be checking what I'm reading. No. The Amplifier rendition. For the true love of God is this, that we what? And remain. And His what? And His what? And not what? Do you believe this? God said they are not difficult to obey. You got to believe this. Now, after hearing this, what should you do, believer? You begin to tell yourself, He has said so that you may what? Not fearfully say. They say, how far has your faith journey been? You don't start saying rubbish. Ah, my brother. BSU, temptation na different one. Oh. The demons for BSU, plenty past the demon for blah, 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 blah. Hey, the temptation too much. Oh. You know people that like to talk about their trials and afflictions. Ah, my brother, it's not easy. I see Christians jumping and playing around. They don't know what Christianity is all about. The things we have faced and seen. As if you overcame by your own strength. Overcoming is your birthright. Yes, sir. It's your birthright. You were not designed to be under. You were designed to be above only. He said you are above only and not beneath. Only statically up there. Up. He said if you died with Christ and are resurrected within Colossians 3:1, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Don't seek fear. Don't seek failure. Are you listening to me? Talk about strength. Talk about success. Talk about impact. No fear in the glory. Be glory conscious. Just be glory conscious. All your needs are supplied already in the glory. After reading such a scripture, you don't tell people that living for God is hard. You see, it's easy. He has said in His word, my yoke is what? My burden is what? Light. Whose report shall you believe? Not any pastor's report. We brag with things that we're not supposed to brag with. So if you want to overcome loss, that's why many people are still stuck in lust. You want to overcome loss? You pray 5 hours every day. 5 hours. David said, I have put your word in my heart. So that I will not sin. He said, now prayer is important. What is prayer? Aligning with the word of God. Becoming one. You are entering the word. The word is entering you. I want to use a scientific word, but not everybody will know. More like knit, intertwined with the word. Like you are knitting something. Putting different colors together. The word enter you, enter the word. Do you understand? More like water, whatsoever makes up ink. The constituent are what? What are the constituents that makes up ink? Dye and water. Can you separate it? Way back, they said there's no separation technique to separate that. You and God are one. His nature, with the word of, as you are praying, you are entering the word is entering you. No separation technique. That's why I say, if you know me, you can't continue in your sin. You can't go back. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. You know, people say, hey, be careful. You can know God and sin. Moses saw God and he sinned. No. Scripture cannot be broken. If Moses truly knew God, he wouldn't have sinned. Because the word of God says, if you know me, you can what? Now we remember, Moses said, show me your glory. God said, I cannot show you my face. If you look at it, you'll die. Moses never saw the glory. Hebrews 1:3, what is the glory of God? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the glory. Moses never saw Jesus. He never saw God revealed in the face of Jesus. Because the revelation of God is Jesus. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible. If Moses ever saw God, Moses saw Jesus. Oh, glory. And nobody had seen Jesus except us in the New Testament. Say, Pastor, you saw him when he was in Jerusalem. No, I saw him revealed in the Word. The revelation we have today, they did not see it. We have Christ revealed today. They never had Christ revealed. Oh, glory to God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word. Jesus is the Word. As we understand Jesus in the New Testament by His Word, we have seen Him. And that's what the Bible said in 1 John 3 and 6. It said, if you have seen or known Him, you can't continue. So to see and to know are the same. You can replace them. How many of you have seen God? How many of you know God? The same thing, glory to God. You've got the Holy Spirit to know Him. That's why Jesus said, it's expedient that I go, else the Comforter, the great teacher, the Holy Ghost, He will not come. He left as Jesus because He was static in just one place for a particular people and came back as the Holy Spirit, another of the same type, Aros Paracletus. And now He's everywhere at the same time. Guess what? He's in you and in me at the same time. What kind of God is this? Doing something different and doing something different and doing something different and doing something different. Omnipresence. Working in all of us at the same time. Giving us several different instructions. No computer in this world can achieve that. Labro zigabai. If you want to multitask, how long, how much of multitasking can you do? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, God is so powerful. He's so powerful. He's so powerful. He said that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach all of you everything about me. That's what Jesus said. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's what the Holy Ghost is doing today in our lives. He's unraveling Jesus to us. And as we see Jesus, we get to see ourselves. If you read the Word and you saw where Jesus healed the sick, hell yes, you can heal the sick. The Bible says we don't have a Savior who is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. He entered into the world. He felt all the temptation you felt. He reigned and lived above the temptation. And He's saying that, as I am, so are you. 1 John 5, 4-17. It said, love has been perfected in this manner, that we have no fear unto the day of what? Because as He is, so are we where? This present world. Not the world to come. We have His standard of life in this present world. We are like Him where? Say in this present. Say it. In Makodi. Assuredly now, you are like Him. I told you a story. I was teaching a young man about Jesus. He said, sir, why are you making me feel like I am like Jesus? I am not like Him. I said, you are like Him. He said, I am just talking. And he's feeling so fine, okay with Jesus. He said he feels like he's like Jesus. He's feeling like Jesus is okay with him. I said, that's the goal. And God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, counting not their. So when we're done preaching the gospel, people should feel reconciled to God. And He said He has given to us, me and you, the same ministry of reconciliation. My God. The way He was in Christ, Jesus now says, as the Father sends me, send I you. And God is in Pastor Peter, reconciling the world to Himself, counting not their sins. That's how He brought Richard from Abia. God through him. Richard today wants to marry a woman in our church. An Abia boy fell in love with a Benue girl because of the gospel. You see? What did he go to do in Abia? He was serving. Just doing NYC. There are some that went to do NYC and we lost them. Can you sit down? They go for NYC and the only thing you see is that they paint here yellow, red. They are dancing. Carnival. Like BSU now. There are some, they've not won any solo in the year. But during BSU FYB, there is no dressing they did not dress. I saw some of my children on my status. Some of them dressed like any. There was no dressing I did not see. I seen a wow. Why haven't heard? You know this since if you play Mortal Kombat, one dressed like one of the women in Mortal Kombat. I say now, wow. If you see the baki, they are messy we're wearing. Oh my God. Where is my daughter Mercy? Mercy was not merciful on that dressing at all. You turn around, you see Precious. Turn around, you see Kira. Turn around, you see all of them. Kira was the one enjoying the pictures. Before you see on their, you will see on Kira's own. Did they win souls in all those carnivals? They did not win any soul. I'm not mocking them. I'm just using them for example. And God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Counting not. You know, Paul said, I'm a life spent for the gospel. I've been spent. Oh, maliga capellia. A life spent for the gospel. I've been spent. He spent himself. He said, God, you want to take my body? Spend me. Spend me. Spend me, Lord. Are you feeling the anointing? Oh, my God. God, you want to take Villa suit? Upon me as a sacrifice. Use me. Somebody say, why is this boy preaching the way he's preaching? There's something pushing that boy. He's seeing things from God's perspective. You see, that thing that made Jesus to subject his glorious self 9 months in the womb of a woman who used to be a virgin. 9 months in a womb. Subjected himself. That thing that made him to feel. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yes, humbled himself to death. There was nothing he couldn't do to save you and I. That is why there's nothing we cannot do. When we take upon ourselves his yokes and burden, there's nothing we can't do for the gospel. No matter what we do, based on what he has done for us, what we are doing today, thinking is sacrifice, we are not even worthy to call it sacrifice enough. If you truly understand what he has done, whatever sacrifice you are making, you are ashamed of sometimes to call it sacrifice. There is no place you cannot enter for this gospel. I was telling people in the first service about some of my friends in Borno. They are very happy. We spoke 2 days back. My wife saw me in the parlor. I was talking to one of them. I was just crying. Tears were falling from my eyes. You can sense the happiness. He said he's very happy. He's very fulfilled. He has over 500 Muslims who are converted. 500. I'm not lying to you. He's watching this service now. He was in the US, so he's not somebody that. He said, I was in the US, pastor. We were the ones that started the real Taekwondo in Nigeria. We represent. He's over, according to my friend, but it's so funny. He's over 50 something, close to 60. He said, we from ABU. He was in the US, successful. God told him to leave US, come to Borno. That's his mission ground. He said, pastor, I'm very happy. I'm very happy. The only person that is surviving now from my is my son. He's schooling somewhere in Abuja. He said, but I've lost over 30 plus members. But I'm not ready to stop. He said, the only thing I've reduced right now is that I win Muslims. When I win them, I train them. Then I send them to go and win other Muslims. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? When he saw my video, he said, hi. God really spoke for that video. So that is why he wanted us to talk. Listen, God is working. God is working. God is working. God is working. I say, pastor, anytime you are passing my God, just hold mic and talk your experience. You don't need to even say anything. Don't go, just be telling us your experience. Let it stir fire in the hearts of men. You know, when you understand these things, even your environment cannot survive you. You will take it for Jesus. When you hear somebody say, myself, three people, it's because you are still yourself. It is still you that is living. If it is no longer you that is living but Christ Jesus. You know, I was reading Acts 2. Peter, after the people preaching diverse languages of the people. Now, some people that didn't understand some of their languages were laughing and saying they were drunk. Remember? When Peter heard them mocking the disciples, Peter stood somewhere tall and started saying, men and brethren. He said, these people are not drunk, blah, 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 blah. And when he preached confidently over they were criticizing him. He was preaching. When he preached so well, so hard, blah, 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 the Bible says 3,000 were converted in one day. Even the people that were mocking, they converted, they changed, they repented, they received Jesus. You see, when you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, when you go somewhere to preach and they mock you, you run back and go and cry. Not somebody that is filled with the Holy Spirit. There's this holy impetus. There is no place you cannot enter. I told you how God told me to enter where they were smoking. And five people received Jesus. I thought they were confident people because they were... You know, the way you see smokers, you feel that they don't even have hope. Blah, 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 blah. They were, their face molded one kind. Folded one kind, I mean. I said, can I preach the gospel? They just looked at me. No problem, sit down. When I started, on my face directly, I said, God, is this a sign to run away from this place? While I was speaking, I said, if you want to receive Jesus, say this words with me. Say, Lord Jesus. I heard five voices saying, Lord Jesus. One was crying. And I said to myself, but they were smoking. I was somewhere again washing my car. These guys were running to go and smoke. When they saw me, they wanted to smoke before they would have so much energy to come and wash the car. So when I saw them smoking and I run, I said, ah, me too, give me my wrap. They said, Pastor, no, I'm an pastor. No. I said, no, give me my own too. He said, no, Pastor, you know, you didn't whine us. You know, they do this kind of thing. I said, why do you think I should not do? Say, you don't look like somebody that would do this kind of thing. I said, okay, give me. They just kept everything on my hand and I kept it by my side. I said, all of you sit down. And I started preaching the gospel. These guys look tough. Have you seen some people that really smoke? They look tough. Their face has these curves and edges that are strong. They work hard. Not just the one smoking. The one smoking and working hard. You will say, this one, his heart is iron. It's a lie. While we're talking, their face, if you just hit their face, tears will start falling down. Everybody's heart is the same. Nobody has iron heart though. Are you listening to me? Nobody has iron heart. Nobody. The word of God, they did not burn you well. There is nobody that the word of God cannot invade his heart. If he just dares to listen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men. He did not say some men. He said that capacity of me revealed on the cross can draw anybody to myself. But of course, they have to listen. That's why I say today, when you hear his word, harden not your heart. If you can listen, I'm daring you. If you listen, you will follow Jesus afterwards. The word of God is so powerful. We are not speaking of our own authority. It's not about me. It's about the gospel. The gospel is the power. Not Prophet Simon is the power. The gospel is the power of God. Unto what? So everyone who dares to believe. And someone may be saying, Pastor, they have to believe. Yes, they have to believe. But their believing comes from our gospel. Because faith, believing comes by what? Hearing through what? The word that is preached. So as we are preaching, we are giving them what it takes to believe the preaching. That's why the Bible said the endless expectation of the whole creation awaits what? Your manifestation. Everything is in you. Their believing, which is in the gospel, is in the mouth of the believer. If you don't say it, people will not follow Jesus. You are the hope of creation. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill. You should not be hidden. Don't hide this glory on your inside. How many of you have eternal life? Don't hide it. He said, go into your world. Some of you, your world is BSU. Some of you, your world is Uniagri. Some of you, your world is your place of work, your place of business. He said, make disciples. From your family, make disciples. Make followers of Jesus. Make them. You were smoking, you go back home now. You take all the smokers and bring them to church. That's what we call impact. Somebody say, I can't stop this smoking. Remember a service, you were there on campus. There was a lady. Can you remember? I think you were there too. Some of you were there. The lady has been smoking for 7 years. We still talk to you today. We were teaching and I was explaining. I read it from Kenneth Hagin's book. How he said one of his cousins or so was a terrible chain smoker or drunkard, like something like that. And while he was praying for this guy, one of those days the guy came to the house and the guy was telling Kenneth Hagin that he has stopped smoking. He doesn't know why. Kenneth Hagin said, are you sure? Kenneth Hagin now went and bought cigarette or something. Literally, the guy started coughing like he wanted to faint. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? He said, you're allergic to this thing that you couldn't do without? I said, it's possible. And while I was teaching, I said, if you were a smoker, today it can cease. It can end today. While we were speaking, I looked at her. The Holy Ghost said she has been smoking. I said, she busted into tears. She has been smoking for 7 years.
You know, how does the Holy Ghost speak to you that a fine-looking lady is smoking? You know, some people think the prophetic is guesswork. You can't guess that kind of thing. Nobody had a clue that that girl was smoking. But she was a chain smoker. And the Lord broke it, started crying in that service. That was all. What the Holy Spirit does is that, you see, He gives you the revelation of Jesus. He steers this new life by the revelation of Jesus. The Bible said this is an eternal life. John 17:3. That eternal life is reciprocal to knowing Jesus. As you know Jesus, His life is steered like very fire on your inside. As you pray in the Spirit, you are fanning that fire to flame every day. That's why the Bible says, praying without ceasing, quenching not the Spirit. Are you listening to me? That's what happened in prayer. The fire is already stirred, which is eternal life on your inside. The Holy Ghost, via revelation and prayer, helps you to fan that fire to flame. Are you listening to me tonight? That's what happens. The person of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through revelation and what? That's what He provides. Revelation, He helps us to know Jesus. Then He helps us to pray. Romans 8:26, we don't know how to as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit helped us with what? Groanings that our mouth cannot express. Then 27 says, He that knows the heart of the Father prayed for us according to the will of the Father. Then 28 says, then we now understand that all things work together. You see that? For good. To them that what? You see, if you are not praying in the Spirit, it will not work together for your good. But you see, because you were praying, you allow the Holy Ghost. Kenneth Hagin will say, when we begin to pray in the Spirit, we allow the Spirit to take the wheel of our prayer life. He's the one that is determining what we say, because He knows everything and what we will not say. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He knows that this time of your life, you may not have the faith to say, Lord, it's my time to have a car. But as you allow Him to take the steering wheel of your prayer life, He begins to say some mysteries about you having a car, if it is interpreted in English. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. How many people can in this season pick it that they are supposed to have $5 million based on what Tinubu is doing? Many people sit there are just trusting God for like 150, 200, 500, 1,000 naira job. But what God is, what if God is saying you deserve 5 million? You deserve a job of 1 million. You know, we're giving a testimony of a lady that got a job of $1,000. $1,000 monthly. Hallelujah to Jesus. What if it's your season to have that job, that kind of job? How can you pick it? Now, listen to what the Bible says. We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Holy Spirit helped our what? Infirmity. What is infirmity? We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. How does He help our infirmity? With what? Groanings our words cannot express. Meaning, if they left it to our words, we cannot say, I deserve $1,000. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to help you pray, what He's saying to men will utter rubbish. But in the Spirit, we are what? Uttering mysteries. Pastor Chris will put it like this. He said, when you pray in other tongues, you are giving angels instructions about your life, about your destiny. That's why the Bible calls it, again, tongues of angels. They understand it. They understand the language. No wonder Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues. I pray in tongues when I hear. When you pray in the Spirit, something is happening. You know exactly. You are not ignorant. Libro zibrandeka paradush. We are not wasting our time. Oh. Something is happening to your mind. And I say sometimes when you are done praying, when you take 2 hours to pray, take 2 hours to think. Because when you are done praying, you are now into a world of ideas. Something has happened to your mind. And how do you pick those things in your mind? By thinking. Begin to engage your mind. You begin to think. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Because there are a lot of promises in Scripture. For instance, He said, when you're tight, I will open the windows of heaven. Window, you see through a window. You don't walk through a window. Meaning, God is promising that your giving can produce ideas for you to walk into the blessing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And you can't touch some of these things until you begin to pray in the Spirit. Then He will bring into the reality of what He has promised in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, the Spirit searches all things. Yea, what? The deep things of God. That's verse 9 and 10.
Then if you look at verse 11, he says, who knoweth the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? He said, in the same way, who knows the heart of God but the spirit of God? He said, but you have received the Holy Spirit of God, that you may know what? All things. Now, I want to divine that all things. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not what? Entered into the hearts of men. You now know because you are full of the Holy Spirit. Now, who knows the mind of Christ that he may instruct him? We have. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Stop thinking 16. Stop thinking 20. I don't mean don't have respect over for your elders. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't allow your age determine your impact. Jeremiah said, I'm a little child. He said, shut up. A prophet doesn't talk like that. Speak based on the authority I've given you. That's what he told Jeremiah. He said, how do I go and tell the people? He said, don't talk like that. Before I formed you in your mom's womb and you got to 16 or 17, I'd known you to be a prophet. Wear that prophetic regalia. Now the Bible says you've been blessed with all spiritual and physical blessing in Christ Jesus. Where are you today, people of God? You are in the blessing. Have a consciousness of the blessing. It doesn't matter whether you are 16. Where are you? Where are you? In Christ. In Christ you are blessed. It is potential before it is kinetic. See, from the Old Testament, we saw the character of God. He did not say, I gave people cash. He said, I've given you the ability to bring about cash. That means if God wants to do something, he gives you raw material, you make it the finished product. In other words, if God wants you to walk in holiness, he will not cause your leg to start walking away from sin. He will give you the ability to walk away from sin. For instance, Paul said, now I can do. I have what it takes to do. He's not in the doing yet, but he's recognizing the ability to do it. Are you beginning? I'm trying to explain to you. And that's why Jesus said in verse 12 of Romans 8, he said, now you are debtors on the strength of what has been done in you in verse 11. What has been done in us in verse 11? He said, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if that spirit lives in you, what has happened to you? It has quickened your mortal bodies. That's your reality now. He said, on the strength of what has happened now, you are the one owing me. God speaking. He said, you are debtors. That's it. Verse 12. Romans 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are... God is saying, you are the one owing me based on what I've done for you. Debtors not to live according to the flesh. Again, verse 13. Because if you live according to the flesh, you will die. He said, debtors to by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Put to death the deeds of the body. You see that? Now, what am I trying to say? God has told you that in Christ you are blessed. Potential. Huh? You have the potency for the blessing. It's in you. You know why you work hard now? Because you know that before working hard, you are blessed. Don't work hard like everybody. Work hard with the consciousness of the blessing. Paul said, the reason why I labor more than ye all is not because of anything, but because I'm recognizing the grace of God on my life. That's why I'm laboring, because I know that my labor will produce fruits. He has said something that one of the interfaces that the blessing or the interface through which the blessing can find expression or be sparked into finding expression is the works of your hand. So he says it like this, I will bless the works of your hand. Meaning if you want to enjoy the blessing on your life, start a work with your hand. Get a job. Start something. Learn a skill. Then you are having the right interface for the blessing to be sparked into a manifestation. Such that's your business. When you are telling the testimony tomorrow, you can tell people, I started a business. But I know this business is not why I have this 18 million in my account. There's something on my life. You see, God wants to do it in a way that you can point to something, not that they should call you a Yahoo boy. So he told the woman, he said, what do you have in your house? He said, a little gallon of oil, a little barrel of oil. He said, bring it to the prophet. He said, go and look for plenty barrels, robbers, gallons. Look for them. Borrow. Lock the door. Lock the door. Lock the door. He said, okay, take this little one now. Be filling the gallons. The Bible says she was just filling. As long as there were gallons, the oil kept flowing. It kept on flowing. You know what God is trying to teach us prophetically? That this is your little business that you had the impetus to start. will feel and fulfill an answer to the problem, all of the problems in your life. That this business you just started will give birth to another business that will build a house, that will give you a car. Do you believe what I'm saying? If I were you, I would run and go and start something. Because God is saying, this thing you are starting is a proof of faith. And I will use this small thing to do many big things in your life. Such that people can say, truly she is hardworking. But Kai, is it only this hard work that is producing this kind of money? I'm not talking about somebody working hard without the consciousness of the blessing. Because God meets expectation, not needs. You must have expectation. You cannot be working hard without the consciousness of the blessing. You must have a consciousness of the blessing. It must be alive at the center of your heart. Every day you are working hard. You are working hard with a mindset that it will produce so much result. Because woe is a man that wakes up in the morning and sleeps at night just to eat the bread of sorrow. But God can give you an idea because you are his beloved. And even in your sleep, you'll be cashing out. Yes. It can exist. I told one of my boys one time, I said, where do you live? He told me. I said, do you know God wants you to own the money of everybody in that place? He said, how? When we talk about supernatural wealth transfer, don't be thinking God will go and be seizing people's money and come and be giving you. God is not police. Sorry, God is not a thief. That's not what he will do. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? God will give you an idea. You see, you live in Bahamas now. You think Bahamas is a small place. Bahamas have over 30 to 40 rooms. Am I saying the right thing? Huh? Or more? God can give you an idea in Bahamas. He will just tell you to come out in the morning and look at what everybody is going to buy. You go, you are taking record. God will just tell you, start the business. You just start one tea business. You are selling Bonvita, this. You observe Bahamas people like tea with big breads at the front of your house. Now, instead of them passing the gate, they are stopping at the front of the gate. They are not passing, they are not seeing any reason to pass the gate. There's a sister selling everything that is causing them, making them pass the gate every morning. And because of that little business, only Bahamas is making you to cash over 150 to 200K every month as profit. I know what I'm saying does not look like sense to you. Because you are thinking of a business idea that the whole world will start coming. They will start coming eventually. But God starts from small and makes it big. He said, though your beginning may be what? Your later end will what? Greatly increase. You have to start somewhere. When I told the brother that, he was inspired to go and start something. People are shouting, they are broke, they are broke, they are broke. There are some people wondering why people are. You know, I was one reading about a lady one time on Facebook. A lady of over 21, 22. The lady had over 100 and something million in account. 100 and something million. 100 and something million. I'm not exaggerating. It's no hookup. I know some of you are looking at me one kind. Say, Pastor, we know those kind of people. It's no hookup. I've forgotten that thing. She lent it for over 6 months before she started cashing out from it. I'm trying to remember. Is it digital marketing or something? I can't really remember. But she started making, she had over, at that time, she had over 160 something million. And she had boys. She was training some men. They were seated in a conference. Came out from her car and was training some men. Huge men. And I was telling leaders yesterday, ladies, I said, when you are broke, you can't discern who to marry rightly. Broke women don't have options of men. As long as you have Corolla and can wear Babariga, you are good to go. They don't have option. But you see, when you have money of your own as a woman, your discernment will be clear. When the man comes and is flaunting some stupid cash, you will see how stupid he is and you say, this one cannot be the father of my beautiful children. Get out. You are looking for a man that has true capacity. And I'm not saying those men are broke people. Because some men are doing their hell like this. Pastor, tell them for us. Have money. You know, sometimes in church, we encourage brothers to be very, very lousy. I was telling one brother one time, I said, what are you doing? He said, sir, I just graduated. I'm trusting God to go and serve and blah, 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 blah. It's like 2 years now. I said, okay, what are you going to be doing in these 2 years? Because he was complaining that his girlfriend was not happy that he was not doing anything, but she cannot see the potentials. That though his beginning is small, but his later end will greatly increase. That he knows how many hours he prays. and he knows the seeds of glory he's sowing. And some of these ladies don't have visions to see into the future. I say, brother, if it's my daughter, since you'd have left her, since. Because what I'm seeing in you is foolishness. It's foolishness. I said, go and get a job. You are not too big. You know, some people, they have prayer posture. The prayer posture will not make them think like they've arrived. They've prayed in tongues so much, they cannot go and apply for a job of 50K or 100K to start with. Say, me, an apostle to the nations? Me? I'm into full-time. An apostle, a global apostle, they should see him working with those girls. And there's nothing in your account. That's where fake men of God start from. That's the beginning point. Satan will encourage you to stay there. To a point where you not give a prophetic word. When he enters, you say, God says you should drop 250 for the next miracle. That's how it starts. Because you don't want to work. Say, what is your name? Hajara. I say, yes. Because you will pick it rightly. Now you will not be using the gift of God for your own advantage. I hear God saying, Hajara, if you must move from here into the plenty, I hear 1 million. Drop it on the altar. You know, sometimes when I see Christians suffering, right? I used to tell myself they are enjoying the consequences of their foolishness. I was in Kaduna one time, and they said a prophet wanted to see me. So I followed that my friend. He has heard about me many years ago as a student. He just wanted to see me. They have this culture of when they begin to see potentials in a young man, they will catch that person and begin to train him in a worldly way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So when he wanted to see me, I followed my friend there, and he said, I see star. You are a great man. I see star. You are a great man. But I want you to come for my meeting later. Come for my meeting. So when I went to the meeting, we were at the back. The way they were praying, I started suspecting. They were praying that snake in them should come out. Every serpent in me, come out. Come out. And I asked my friend, where will he enter when it comes out at that point? Now, when they kept on saying that, we now enter the main auditorium. They were doing it outside. He now came to a point. If you are yet trusting God, blah, 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 1 million. 1 million came out to the side. 500,000, they came out. 200,000, they came out. 50,000, they came out. 5,000 came out. Anything you have came out. I got offended. I told my friend, you see all these Christians? So people are here with 1 million. You know, somebody that is 1 million should have sense. That has 1 million should have sense. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You should be a hardworking person. You sit down, somebody looks at you and say, if you want to break through with 1 million, come and drop on the altar. It's because you were not ready to read your Bible. You are not ready. So a problem now, most of those people dropping that money, they have a severe problem on ground. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They want it out at all costs. There are ladies who want to marry that have entered River Benue in the night because of marriage. The Baba said they should bring a lamp and they'll enter in the night 7 times like Latin and come out. In the night when all of us are sleeping. You know why they are suffering like this? You want to marry, jump 7 times. Hey. You know why they are suffering like this? Why they were growing up, they were not hearing word. You are 16, you are in a relationship. Why? Why? Why, sister? Why in a relationship? You want to enjoy love? To what end? I was in the bank. They were attending to me. So a young man that sat down in my front, at UB, I saw somebody was calling him. When he called, he didn't pick the call. And I was able to see through his monitor, his screen, I mean. And I saw he wrote Hannah with 5 love or 10 love at the end. I began to laugh. Very small boy. And he dressed corporate, you know, that means he knows what he's doing. But he still found love. I said, this is a challenge for this small boy. Now, this love he has found is the only problem. At 16, you now know men has come. 16. At 16, you know men. All men are dogs. How did you discover? From what age did you start discovering? Because at 16, you don't get sense. Your brain has not finished maturing. Why will men not do you leg over?
know who a man is? Assisting you carry your brain and try to interface a man's brain. They will finish you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. And I told the young man, work hard. Prayer does not stop you from working hard. When you are done praying in tongues, think deep in the spirit. Pray in the spirit, think in the spirit with your mind. You'll be so amazed. We sat here when the Lord spoke to us while we were praying about Petra. Some of you were in that meeting. Petra ICT Hub that we've started now. I've started that company for like 2 years now or 3 years. And that company have been more like the greatest source of revenue for most members in this church. Today we have people who are receiving 400,000, 300,000 because they have tech skill. They started from Petra. So when the Lord, when you pray in tongues, your mind becomes more fortified so that when you think, you pick signals from heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We're in Petra when, with their donut, when a woman came to us from BOI. She came here last Sunday, some of you saw her. She was telling us, Pastor, any loan you want, we are ready to give you. If you want to even build your own structure, come and collect the loan. I said, no, ma. She now said, your wife too can come and collect. You know, when they were hearing the thing about the loan, I was wondering, you know, if you go to take loan, people will tell you that, no, we don't trust, blah, blah, blah. But here is somebody telling me to come and collect loan and do anything I want to do. I had to tell myself, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus, because this loan thing too, do you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't just rush into loan. Loan can be a blessing and a curse. It can be a curse. You know, there are some people that came to my office that they want to collect loan. I told them to go back in this church. I said, don't collect anything low. Talk less of adding the AN at the front. I said, just go and be struggling with your business like that. A day will come. Because I know if they catch this one, they'll catch me too. You know, the truth is that we can't see you in prison and not gather money in church. You will give us unnecessary stress. There are some that I know that if you collect loan, you must catch, you must enter prison. You must enter. There are one or two that have come. I told them, go and collect, and I restrict them to an amount. And of course, they are doing very, very well. Loan is not supposed to be a curse, but it can be a curse. You are pushing when nobody is pushing. You are running when nobody is pushing you. The wicked. Early in the morning, you wake up, you think about the loan. You have changed location everywhere, your BVN now. We had a case like that now. We won, don't collect loan. Yes, sir. Don't collect loan. Yes, sir. He went outside, somebody now advised him, collect. Pay sharp, sharp. Pastor, no go, no. One day, people of God, I've seen something in this life. There's no way I've entered. Places that I'm not supposed to go. As a pastor, I enter. Because of my pastoral calling, I've entered. For instance, I've gone to prison and see people inside. I did not stay inside. It was something small that would have made, that would have kept me inside that prison. Just because of members' sake. One time we went to remove one of our brothers from jail, be prison. He was inside the prison. I got offended because I know he doesn't do anything fraud. So as I went to the police station, I said, what, on what basis? They say somebody who is a Yahoo, who collected money from their bank illegally, loan. It was a fake way of collecting loan with Wema Bank. The person collected loan wrongly, more like Yahoo. And the person sent money to his account. I say, how much? They say 15,000. I say, what? For 15,000, you put my boy in this place? I started shouting that I will sue all of you. So when they were begging, one of the police officers was like, Pastor, don't take it so serious. We just wanted to look for the person. He was saying he doesn't know the person. And the person just came and, do you understand what I'm trying to say? But he doesn't know the person truly. While we're talking, and they apologized and brought him out. I said, can I see the list of all the people we are looking for? They brought the list out. Oh my God. There was one person I advised. The person is not here. I don't know where the person is now again. I told the person, don't collect loan. I saw the person's name inside. The person collected. But I did not know. It was through that list that they are looking for them now. When I saw the list, and I said, God, they should not ask me if I know somebody here, because outside I know. You say, Pastor, you have seen it. I say, yes. He say, so that, those are their names. I was just saying, God, let him not say, do you know anybody in this list? I said, because if he says, I don't know that I can lie. So when we're done, I just told the man, I have to go now. They were just, I have to go now. I ran to my office. I sat down. I said, Jesus Christ, what has happened to me today? I called the person. I said, come to my office. He came. I said, did you collect loan? He said, yes, sir. I gave my account for the person to. I said, they use your account to collect loan. He said, yes. I said, you are finished. He said, sir, I don't understand. I said, police are looking for you. I hope you know. You give your account for loan that you don't know anything about. I said, did I know one? He said, sir, the person say they will just collect the shop. I said, you have collected? Yes. You have spent? No. I said, don't touch that money. He said, the person that did it for him has collected like 600,000 and spent already. His own share is still there. I said, you don't touch your own. Don't touch your own, they'll come for you. 2 days later, they freeze his account. Looking for him everywhere. It was not too long he went and solved the problem. If he had listened, are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, we know your capacity. As your pastors, we are your shepherd. Some will pray. They will come and say, God says she's my wife. I'll say she's not your wife. Go back. So, Pastor, me a prayer warrior. It's not prayer that you use to buy food in the house. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not prayer that buys Pampers. Do you know how much is Pampers now? Huh? Baby wipe. Do you know how much is a baby wipe? They don't use prayer. Libro gada baba baby wipe. Baby wipe. Repo kapatasa. You don't speak your baby's bum bum to be wiped. Libro gada baba, the angels of the Lord will wipe it now. Legos. Someone came to my office and said, sir, I was entering a relationship in a vision. You now told me to stop. I said, did I just say stop? He said, no. He said, you told me to stop and make money first. I said, yes, that's me, sir. That's me. If you just say stop, I would have had a problem. But repeat what you said. He said, you told me to stop and make money. I said, this is Prophet Simon. Stamp it. I said, don't enter. Make some money. You know why I said don't enter the relationship? Because if you enter now, there are some people that I regret them entering relationship because when they enter, this see finish happen. You see the boy buying, I love you. After 2 years, you will hear that he's not saying I love me again. I love you again. You will hear that he's not picking my calls. She's not picking my calls. Because you see, they don't even know where they are going to in the relationship. And you see, it's not anybody that prays in tongues that knows his purpose in life. Some people who are praying in tongues, they don't even know purpose. They think their purpose is praying in tongues. I prayed 6 hours yesterday, my God. I prayed 7 hours. They think that's their purpose in life. Meanwhile, that praying in tongues is supposed to aid your purpose very well. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But they don't even know their purpose yet. And if you don't know where you are going to, you don't need help. It is when you know where you are going to that you need somebody to help you there. Help meet. But if you don't know where you are going to and you enter a relationship, it will be full of sex, immorality, kisses, hugs, truth and dares, and all rubbish. Like one time I was counseling somebody and I said, let me see how you people gist. When I was looking at it, they were doing truth and dare. Truth and dare. You need to see the demonic question. How many of you know truth and dare? In secondary school, if they just say, if you just hear we are all matured here, let's play a game, just run away. If you just hear we are all matured in this place, just know it's a demonic game. Are you here tonight? Are you getting me tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praying in tongues is important though, but it's supposed to aid purpose. You want to live above sin? It's not just praying in tongues. You must have revelation yet. You see, faith cometh by hearing the word. And faith is built by prayer. When we pray, we build up our most holy faith that came by hearing the word. So if you don't have revelation yet, prayer is useless. You cannot truly, like in physics, what we call key terms. You cannot truly define prayer without revelation being in place first. Because prayer is becoming one with the revelation of God's word. So if you don't have revelation, prayer is not satisfied. Cannot be satisfied. Cannot be fulfilled. And cannot be defined even. Are you listening to me tonight? Very important. You can be in a church for 50 years, the four corners of a church, and be practicing religion. Like yesterday, see, I'm going to say something that may hurt some people, but I pray it does not truly hurt you. Listen to me carefully. A friend of mine who is a doctor, we were classmates in Remedias. For the first time in a long time, he messaged me because I forgot that my post on WhatsApp automatically gets to Facebook. I did that, but I forgot. So I shared something about one of the Pope's recent article or speech or something. Are we together? Where he said, I don't know if some of you saw it, that Mary is not a co-redeemer. How many of you saw it? With Jesus. And some people in the comment section were saying, no, we don't even see her as a co-redeemer in the first place. No true Catholic. So the brother actually messaged me. He said, Prophet, sir, no true Catholic actually sees Mary as a co-redeemer. I said, okay, it's fine. But I grew up in the Catholic Church too. And you don't necessarily need to call her a redeemer before you agree or do things like she's a redeemer. A co-redeemer. I said, because action speaks louder than what? Listen to me carefully. What define worship? Worship is deep reference and honor for a deity. Can we say it together? Worship is deep reference and honor for a deity. If you ever go in a Catholic church, the bow you bow to Jesus is the same bow you bow to Mary. Am I lying? Let's be sincere. If Jesus is here and you bow, if Mary is there, you must bow, because it is through Mary you get to Jesus. That's our belief. Am I lying to you people in this place? Am I lying to you people? Let's be sincere. You know, when you get to heaven, all of these things are no argument. God will not even judge all of these cases. Some people say, God, judge the case. They were saying, no, God does not have time for those things because he never started it. He gave you the word of God. He gave you the Holy Spirit. Some people are just so stiff-necked. They don't want to hear the truth. They've been lost in religion. Listen to me, people of God. The people that said Jesus should be crucified were church people. Because he was against their doctrines and belief. They say his blood be upon us and our children. Jesus said that I came to my own. And my own what? They refused to receive Jesus. Church pursued Jesus. Church pursued Jesus. Church told Jesus, leave our church. You can imagine. He said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how have I longed to gather you like the mother what? Hen want to gather her chicks. Say, but you rejected me. Then he said, as long as what? There are carcasses. He said, the eagles will what? He called the church in those days, he called them dead corps, as good as dead corps. That as long as they are dead, vultures will come and prey on them. It happened not too long. Roman Empire took charge of the church. They were now under the mastery of Rome. That was where John the Revelator, amidst the persecution, began to pray and had the book of Revelation for us. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And one of the key things God told them there, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, he said, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because God will not come, and listen to me, this is how God does things. If you are struggling, God is not coming to kill Satan because he has destroyed Satan already. What God will do to you today is to give you light, to realize that Satan is nothing, and to have you live in your supposed realm. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's what he will do. Not trying to kill Satan again, because he cannot do what he has already done. So what God did in a particular book, I think in chapter 4, is to tell the church to come up hither. He told them to come up hither, to come to their rightful place, because he had said to them, this was the formula. He said, on Christ will I build my church, so that the gates of hell will not what? So if the church was on Christ, the gates of hell is not supposed to what? Prevail. And somebody may be saying that it is spiritual hell. No, it is not spiritual hell. The analogy Jesus used there was a physical place, a physical location. The gate of hell in his days was one major part of Jerusalem, according to what philosophers said. A major gate where, more like a GRE, where there are many big men. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Big men with different gods that they worship. So they tag the place, they call the place the gate of what? Hell. Because as you are entering there, you are entering into different, you are going to see different people with different gods and etc. He's saying that if the church is built on him, he said nobody, none of these big men with their gods can prevail against the church. So when it was happening, John the Revelator had to cry. This was not the promise. And the first thing Jesus did was to reveal himself again to John. How did the book of Revelation start? This is the revelation of what? Jesus Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you tonight? Very important. Don't just stop on, you know, like I was saying, if you want people's heart to burn, reveal Jesus to them. Not mysticism. The mysteries of stars. The mysteries of that. The mystery of this. In fact, if we must do something greater in the New Testament, church, hear me. It is not telling you stories of people in the Old Testament. It is not telling you story of fathers of faith in Nigeria. See, Jesus even told us something. He said the principle to see something new is to forget the former things. If you don't consciously forget the former things, you will not see something new. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Now, we will thank God for what they have done, but we must consciously forget to see something even better. Because he says, if the ministry of the right of condemnation was glorious, he says the ministry of the righteous excels in glory. And if you must see the excelling glory, you must forget the former glory. But when we are filled up in a room and all we are saying is stories of people that have done great things, which is beautiful, we will not see the possibility of doing greater things. Jesus said, when I leave, the works that I do, he said, if you believe in me, sorry, the works that I do, you will do. But he said, greater things shall you do when I leave and go to the Father. Because you see, he will, in the capacity of the resurrected Jesus, he did not stay too long on the earth. Get what I said. In the capacity of the resurrection, resurrected Jesus. You know, when Jesus resurrected, he did not stay too long on the earth. He spent more time with the disciples. He didn't live with that capacity for so long upon the face of the earth. But he said, you and I are seated together with him. Right now that you are seated here, you are seated together with Christ. And the reason why he believes greater things shall you do is because he's seated there, you are seated with him, but you are here where impact can be made. And that's why he believes you can do greater things. How many of you believe you can do greater things? Oh, dear Jesus. One day I was teaching some boys. I said, Jesus was preaching in a temple. It's in the Bible. While he was preaching, a woman was in the temple with withered hands. And the Bible said he told the woman, is it a woman or a man? He said, lift up your hands. Now, he saw hands. They did not see hands. Lift up your hand. The Bible said when she lifted up her hands, there was new fresh hand. I said, this same Jesus said we will do greater things. How many of you are here tonight? I know as I'm talking, somebody is saying, God, the kind of prayer we need to pray. Oh my God. It has to be 250 hours. If the fathers of faith did 20 hours to see what they see, they saw, we had to do 40 hours. Listen, it's a lie. The determining factor for manifestation is prayer. Prayer is a common denominator for manifestation through the Old Testament to the New Testament. But you see, what has changed is the revelation. The revelation we have in the New Testament, they did not have it in the Old Testament. So if they spent 20 hours to pray, they saw what they saw because, not because of the prayer. The prayer is to facilitate the revelation to become a manifestation. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain. With what we have in the New Testament as revelation, if we still use prayer the facilitator, we will see something greater, not because of the time, but because of the thing that was facilitated by prayer. The revelation. Did you catch what I just said now? Did you catch what I'm not saying prayer is not a function. It is. But what will make us to do greater things is not because of anything, but because Jesus goes to the Father. And we are seated together with him at the Father's right hand. Are you catching what I'm trying to explain to you? Never underestimate the power of prayer. But not the way some folks are seeing it. Without prayer, there can never be a manifestation of God's word. But your idea of prayer has to be the right way. Because you can pray wrongly. Jesus said, the disciples speaking, they said, teach us how to pray. Meaning you can pray wrongly. Are you listening to me tonight? Pray the right way, you'll see results. Pray the right way. Ask and you shall receive. Knock, the door will be opened. Seek and you shall find. He promised us that. I told one of my friends many years ago, his mother has been on the sick bed for years, paralyzed one part of her. And I said to him, not really a friend, I mentor him. I used to mentor him in BSU. When he came to Makurdi to see me, he was so fat. The first question I asked him, I said, is your mother working now? He said, no, sir. She's still on the sick bed. I said, and you are fat? Now, he thought I was joking. He began to laugh. I said, I'm serious. Why are you fat? Your mother has not started working and you are fat. I said, go and fast. Go and pray. Pray till you see your mother out from that bed. I said, because if it was your mother that sees you on the bed like this, you will not stay up to 5 months. I told him to go and pray. What will help you to truly love humanity is not blood, though. It is the love of Jesus. You know, it is compassion that gets the sick people healed. A Christian that is not compassionate towards the sick will not even see them healed. Jesus had compassion over them and he stretched forth his hands and they were healed. The first thing that motivated Jesus was compassion. If you are not compassionate, you will not pray from the depth of your heart. I told him, stay with the word of God and pray for your mom. Anybody under the sound of my voice, before we call it a day, if you have any situation, you know, who said this? One of the God's general, Lester Sumrall. He said, there is no situation that can stand the fire of prayer. It's a very big basic wisdom, but I love to quote it a lot of times. He said, there is no situation under heaven that can stand what? The fire of prayer. I've seen it in my life. I told you a story where my father was behaving like something was wrong with his head. I went to the house. They say he was eating food, was pouring on his body. I said, where did this one start? He just retired from the military. And when I saw everything, I went back to the house, locked my door, and I began to pray. The next day I called. They say, he's very okay now. He's behaving fine. It just happened all of a sudden. They thought it was all of a sudden. I knew exactly what happened. I prayed. Angels moved. The power of the Holy Ghost moved. And now he's okay. Every demon there checked out because of the power of prayer. Prayer is powerful. There is nobody in this world that can convince me that prayer is not powerful. I've seen prayer taking people out from wheelchair. I've seen prayer heal the sick. I've seen prayer bring dead people back to life. What are you talking about? I've seen prayer extend the legs of people. One of my first testimony in BSU, first healing testimony in BSU, was a lady who had accident and one of the legs was longer than the other. You all know the testimony. We prayed and she said they were drawing her leg. She was shouting, they are drawing my leg. And after everything, the legs were perfect. Perfect. I've seen prayer do a lot of things for me to say prayer does not work. I've seen prayer take, the doctors had appointment with people, operation. I've seen prayer checked out that demon and they said there was no need for an operation. I've seen prayer. I told my guys one day, I said, sometimes when I hear manifestations of the spirit, I used to wonder how it happened. They said, no, Pastor, but you prayed. I said, yes, I prayed. But I wish you understand what I'm trying to say. For every healing revivalist, I've heard that from Pastor Benny Hinn. He said, every time they pray, he said, it is because of they've used it so much, the name of Jesus, that they just know that it will work. But for every time God does a miracle, they are always surprised. How did God do it? They are astonished. You have the faith to pray, but when God does it, even you, your mind is blown. Everybody is shouting glory. You are saying glory. Wow, God did it. Yes, this is one of the little things God can do. But in your heart, you are like, wow. Wow. Wow, God did it. Wow. How did he do this one? Prayer can do anything. Are you listening to me? Prayer can do anything. Prayer can do anything. And it is high time you start learning how to pray from now. Learn it. When you charge your power bank, when NEPA take light, you plug it to your phone. You know, have you seen people that says, why am I praying? China is richer than blah, 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 all those stupid things. We are not praying to compete with China. I'm not the president. We are praying because at a point, that prayer is how God will become our present help in times of need. Because of the anointing, the yoke is what? That's why we pray. As you are praying, when life circumstances hit you, you just turn towards the power bank and you plug. And your life is charging. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You are surviving. You are not in part battery saver mode. You won't stop when life hits you. You continue moving because your prayer bank is full. You know, when there is light, you see people charging their power bank. Why is there light and this person is still? Life is okay, we are praying. Everything is okay, we are praying. We are just praying. You just go home and you see Pastor Emma praying. You go home and you see Enne praying. Why is she praying? She has a job of over 250. Why is she praying? For what? We are praying because we know that evil days lies ahead. Redeeming the times for the days are evil. A time will come. You just enter the... I remember Prophet Kobus. He said his two boys were playing for who to play drum. And one of the boys used the stick and shocked the neck of his younger brother and he died. And they went and knocked Prophet Kobus' room. Guess what he was doing at that time? He said he always prayed, sitting there, he was praying in tongues. He said, sir, your boy, one of them, blah, blah, blah. And the boy is dead. Prophet Kobus van Rensburg just stood up, went to the altar. Went to the church, saw them where one is dead, one is crying. He just hit the boy, said, wake up in the name. And he woke up there. He woke up there with his leg, wake up. And he woke up there. The spirit of faith. When you tell people this thing, they'll say, it's a lie. It's a lie. I was watching this service live many years ago when somebody was on life support, oxygen. And while he was preaching, he said, come. She came. He just plugged the thing out. I said, can you breathe? She said, yes. He carried it and threw it. He said, are you still breathing? He said, yes. He said, keep on breathing forever in the name of Jesus. I said, hey. Hey. You know, if you want to be a careful pastor, you will lay hands. And you say, go home. Very soon, she will not need the oxygen again. And you are just being careful. Do you understand? Because if you remove that thing, and that person dies, straight to prison. You know, when he removed the thing, I think I was sharing my wife one time. When he removed it, I said, Jesus! Even me that was watching, I said, Jesus Christ. I said, that's it. Tell somebody, that's it. That's our lifestyle. We have this voracious appetite for the impossible. You see, some of you doing sales, as your sale will begin to grow into the 50s and the 100s, one of the women around is how God will use to magnify the cell. She will come with probably a baby and say, if this my baby can begin to hear, I will serve this your God. And you will put your hands on that ear. And even if there is no eardrum, you speak new eardrum into the ear. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? As you speak it and that baby begins to hear, you begin to have, we will not have to do it. We have to create a church for you, a branch. Tell somebody power. A heart on fire for the Lord. There's a way this, your heart is burning, that when they bring a case, you just solve it and just focus on your heart burning. Jesus was so anointed, he was walking, and a woman just said to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She said to herself, if I can. When she touched, he felt something leaving from his clothes. He said, who touched me? The disciple said, Master, we don't want to assume something is wrong with you. Many people are trying to hit you. They are touching you. He said, no, that's not the kind of touch. It's a touch of faith. Somebody was praying somewhere in Wadata. The person was praying and that person touched me specially. And the woman raised her hand. I said, I'm the one, Master. She understood the faith language. She understood. You see, that's something about faith. Only you know what is happening. Only you understand. Faith is not something congregational. Sometimes we can congregational pray and trust God. Faith is more personal than it is congregational. If you want to start seeing the sick healed, it is not with the church you have an agreement with the Holy Spirit. It is after this meeting you go back to your house and speak to yourself like that woman. That's how faith begins. It begins with you speaking to yourself. The Bible says she said to herself. You have to go back home and say, from today, in the name of Jesus Christ, the power of God will begin to flow through my hands. To anybody that if I lay my hands on any sick person, that person will be made whole. From today, faith starts personal. You speak to yourself. So that when you hit, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let me put it like this. You speak to yourself. You touch the hem of his garment. You touch God. He has to turn towards. It is how faith brings God's attention to you. You people do not agree. You never had an agreement with God and say, I'm going to have faith, then you turn towards my direction. No. The day you agree to have faith, faith is a law in itself. When you decide to have real faith, it will pull Jesus' attention towards you. Because you will touch him. And when you touch him and he turns towards you, the whole world will recognize that Jesus' hand is upon you. Because the sick will be healed. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. Say to yourself, Say to yourself that if I start singing from henceforth, there is nobody that can, under the sound of my voice, they will hear this music and the demon. It has to start. It's a personal decision here. As I sing the songs of the Lord, any demon in the atmosphere. So why is it that when that brother sings every time, people, demons are checking out? Why? He said to himself. He didn't just stop there. He knelt down and said, God, from henceforth. And the Holy Spirit gives him some series of consecration. He begins to pray 2 hours every day. Because of a personal decision. And the whole world come and watch you burn. T.L. Osborne said that. Set yourself on fire. He said the whole world will come watch you burn. Quench not the spirit. Praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing. Keep on filling your prayer bank. Everything is okay right now, right? Be praying in tongues. One day one uncle will think your mother does not deserve to live. He will send an affliction. But you are in the house. You are the blood on the doorpost of your family. And that demon will come and look at you. And because he's seen blood, and the blood is on the doorpost, everybody in the house is protected because the blood is on the doorpost. That's one way to profit from the anointing. But what if it hits your mom, truly? You still will not worry. What it takes to take away the demon from your mom is already in you. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. He said every other good thing. See, now you are seeking first the kingdom. Now you are anointed. See the problem in your home. Because you have been seeking God first, you can solve the problem. You see that? You lay hands on your mom, the demon leaves. My father started believing me when I called him one day. I said, you just lost 500. He said, that's what I'm looking for. I don't know where I kept it many years ago as a student. He said, Simon, you are in school. How did you know I lost 500? I said, God just told me. I had silence. I ended the call. That is when my father started believing me. My mother started believing me when she had a pain on her legs, a joint. She called me to pray. I said, lay hands. It leaves now. She said, now? I said, yes. She said, okay, it is still there. I said, it has left. I ended the call. She called me 5 minutes later. She said, the pain just left. That is how they started believing me. My father called me, took me to First Stack. I thought we were going to buy fish, our normal routine for my mother. She sells fish that time in the barracks. He said, son, sit down. I sat down in one veranda. He said, from today, you have the right to go and preach the gospel. You are my first boy. I wanted you in the military. I wanted to make a name for myself. But it is obvious God's hand is upon you. Go and preach the gospel. But don't be a fake pastor. If he never saw the hand of God upon my life, he will not allow me to preach the gospel. You see me sometimes with their Sonny and the rest. Even Sonny, Captain Sonny, before he applied for India, had applied like 2-3 years before he applied. Meaning I'm supposed to be like a major, a lieutenant colonel. If I follow the path of everybody in the barracks. But God's hand was upon me. And my father saw the potential. I was his only son. How many fathers can allow that? Only boy. Say he wants to preach. No magnitude, no direction yet. Even your father don't know whether the preacher will profit you. But when he saw the power of God, he said, this boy, there's something upon him. Then one day my mother told me a story. They were talking with my father. My father told her that he told God that since he will not serve him as a priest in the Catholic Church, his first boy will serve him all the days of his life. I said, but not as a priest, yes? Yeah. He said, I'm serving God. They told me the circumstances around my bed. They said they knew from bed that I am a pastor, a man that God will use. But they wanted me to be a priest. People get out trying to say, that's where the problem was. Then I refused. I said, I want to be a pastor. They said, is it because of marriage? I said, no. And when I began to explain what I was explaining in the middle of the service, I was sitting in church and I began to ask myself sincere questions. Because what I read in the Bible was not the same thing I was seeing them practice. And as a child, I would ask questions that the Bible coordinator would get offended and report to my father. This your boy is causing confusion in Bible study. I said, what is the meaning of seat of wisdom, cause of our joy? I said, what is the meaning of this kind of prayer? I said, there is no way in scripture. And my father warned me one time. He said, stop asking questions. From that time, it registered to them. They said, this one, he has already gone. In my church those days, people would look at me and they think they were mocking me. The slogan they tell me is, he has seen the light. He has seen the light. How are you? That was my name. Because as a young child, I was wearing suit. I saved my money, bought suit in the barrack with my palm. You see me wearing suit and walking everywhere. Before they ordained me pastor, I had already started dressing like a pastor.
Now the hand of God is upon you. Are you listening to me tonight?
If you were somebody that was just living normal, stop living normal. Did I share that experience of a young man in NDA who did masters, first degree, first class, doing masters in NDA? The night before his graduation, after having first class, he died. When they did autopsy, they say his brain is like grounded powder. It was grind, like somebody carry mortar and grind the brain. That's what they discovered. That means somebody sat somewhere in the village and put the brain, imaginative power, and started hitting the brain. And that's how that guy died. With all the potentials. You see some people working hard and they are laughing at Christians. Oh, this one going to join. Yeah. What is it? The devil wants to finish you. It is just one old woman with two sticks. You need to have a supernatural edge. Are you listening to me? Anybody that is plugged into the supernatural is more than any normal human being.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.